colleagues, I'm going to shift things around a little bit. Item 542, we have an out-of-town guest, and Mustafa has informed me they're on a bit of a timeline here, so please read 542.
Amend transient lodgings tax code related to the administration of the short-term rental laws. Require short-term rental platforms to either enter into a pass-through registration data sharing agreement or choose listing locations from a short-term rental registry created by the city.
Colleagues, the City of Portland has been a national leader in short-term rental policy setting, working with platforms such as Airbnb and HomeAway. Portland was the first city in the nation to strike a tax collection deal with short-term rental platforms back in the year 2014. In that same year, Portland was also one of the first cities in the nation to legalize short-term rentals in residential neighborhoods. Since 2014, Portland has been working hard to gain higher compliance with its permitting requirements around short-term rentals. These permits require basic inspection to ensure smoke alarms and appropriate egress and rental properties are in place, and other matters like reasonable neighborhood notification. We've had years of discussions and litigation with short-term rental platforms about increasing permitting compliance, and we're still experiencing very low compliance rates. Today, they are below 30%. While all platforms are now collecting and remitting our hotel motel taxes, which is an improvement, few have shown any real interest in aiding in enforcement of city regulations. The ordinance before you today sets a clear path forward to gain higher compliance with our permits. Short-term rental platforms will have a choice. Either enter into a data sharing agreement with the city to provide basic information about the location of short-term rentals in Portland, or facilitate bookings and transactions only for those short-term rentals that are on the list of permitted locations provided by the city. Revenue Director Thomas Lanham is here and will walk us through the ordinance. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon then, Mayor and City Council. I'm Thomas Lanham with the Revenue Division of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services, and joining me is Mike Liefeld from the Bureau of Development Services. You summarized it very well, Mayor, and I know it's already been a long day. I don't need to repeat a lot of that. I guess what I would say is what's changed recently is a panel of the Ninth Circuit ruled on an ordinance that was passed by the City of Santa Monica, California. And that ruling upheld Santa Monica's ordinance. And this ordinance really mirrors the Santa Monica approach that has been tested in that court. And so, in short, it sets up a registry of locations that have already got a permit, type A or B ASTR permit that Mike will speak about in a moment. And those are the only locations that can legally be advertised that a short-term rental platform could receive fees for service for helping to book. So that's door number one. Door number two that we're still allowing the platforms to take if they so choose is that full-blown data sharing agreement, including transactional data, so we know how many nights each of these locations are booked. I will stop there and turn it over to Mike.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Mike Liefeld. I'm with the Bureau of Development Services Property Compliance Program. My team administers the BDS accessory short-term rental permit requirements as required by the Portland Zoning Code and performs complaint-based enforcement for violations of the city's ASTR regulations. During my short testimony, I will refer to accessory short-term rentals as ASTRs. BDS supports the proposed ordinance as it will greatly assist us in utilizing existing enforcement resources to ensure compliance with the city's ASTR regulations. The ordinance provides two paths for booking agents and operators to partner with the city to ensure that the carefully crafted and balanced ASTR regulations adopted in 2014 are met. A pass-through registration program can have benefits for both booking agents and the city. An important element of a pass-through agreement includes the ability to receive transactional data regarding ASTR operations. Transactional data is needed to help identify alleged commercial vacation rental operations that are an affront of the Portland Zoning Code. These operations can best be described as commercial vacation rentals with no permanent resident, and not meeting the underlying zoning requirements that the use of the property remain residential or used as primary residence for an individual or family. The current ASDR regulations allow ASDR rentals 365 nights a year and do not require the required primary resident to be on site during any guest stay. Without transactional data, ASDR applications are essentially treated the same, with the city not having any additional information to best assign enforcement resources to tackle illegal commercial vacation rentals that have been and continue to be the main driver for existing BDS enforcement action. Based on our experience in responding to 635 ASDR complaints since 2014 and through issuance of 240 ASDR enforcement citations, we know that transactional data, that is, the frequency of guest bookings, is a strong indicator of a potential ASDR violation, even if the required ASDR permit has been issued. For BDS to achieve the goal of limiting illegal commercial ASDR operations, transactional data is needed. The second path provided to booking agents and operators allows industry partners to utilize short-term rental registries that only promote and advertise fully permitted and legal ASDR operations within the City of Portland. This approach will greatly improve compliance with the city's ASDR regulations, as non-permitted ASDR operations will need to make an immediate decision whether to embark on the required ASDR permitting process or simply discontinue the use. Since 2014, BDS has received much feedback regarding perceived barriers to compliance with the city's ASDR regulations. It is BDS's belief that the primary reason for the great disparity between the number of active ASDR listings on booking agents' online platforms compared to the low number of permitted ASDR properties within the city is simply due to the operator's inability to permit a legal operation. Frequent cited violations confirm that common operational violations surrounding offering a whole house rental that violates the maximum number of guests and bedrooms available for rent, as well as utilizing a vacation home without a primary resident, is the main driver. The ability to only allow ASDR bookings of fully permitted properties will drastically increase the compliance rate with the city's ASDR regulations. BDS supports the proposed ordinance as it will increase our ability to administer, monitor, and enforce the city's current ASDR regulations. I'm going to remain available for questions that might come up regarding administration of the program, and I thank you for the opportunity to provide comments.
Very good. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Mayor, looking back over my 10 years plus of service on this council, nothing has been more frustrating on a regulatory side than our continuing challenge to get the short-term rental industry and companies like Uber and Lyft and other TNCs to follow the rules that we've established that were designed to protect consumers and workers. And I think it has also been frustrating for the public to watch us fall short of ensuring public safety. When you say at the beginning of this hearing that less than 30% of short-term rental units are in compliance, what you're saying is that at any given moment, the city can't vouch for approximately 70% of the units that are being marketed online, which means we can't say for sure to a family or to anyone accessing these rentals that they're safe. We can't say for sure that there's adequate egress and ingress, that there's a smoke detector, that there's other things that are required. It has been really eye-opening to watch this new, I guess they call it the gig economy, operate, because the gig economy has thumbed its nose at local regulators for a long time. And that's basically their business model. And in fact, as we speak today, Lyft and Uber are still working overtime in Salem to preempt the city of Portland from regulating short TNCs. So all the progress we've made in setting a basic standards that protect workers and consumers are at risk because the legislature may, in the name of providing statewide access to these services, may throw in a preemption which limits our ability to look out for our local citizens, our local community members. So if this is a preview of the new gig economy, I would say God help us. Because there's a pattern of behavior, and it's contemptuous of local control, contemptuous of local regulations, and constantly using the courts to frustrate our ability to do reasonable regulations. And that, after all, is a cornerstone of our responsibility as local legislatures, is to make sure people are safe. So I am encouraged that we have a Ninth Circuit decision from Santa Monica that is on our side, although I'm reminded that I think the Ninth Circuit has the highest overturn rate in the country of any circuit. So we should hope that the Supreme Court doesn't take that case up and lets the Ninth Circuit decision stand. And Thomas, I know that you have been working hard to break through these barriers. And I appreciate what you said, that the principal barriers that people have faced isn't the fact that we've created burdensome regulations as a general matter. That's the rhetoric we hear, because any regulations are by definition burdensome, and that's the line used by these companies. But you've pointed out that many of the units would not qualify as short-term rentals under our code because the operators aren't following the law. And by not following the law, let's be very clear, we're not talking about some abstraction here. We're talking about people being less safe. And if tomorrow the headline was city backs off regulating local motels and hotels and doesn't pay attention to basic life safety issues, or the fire bureau announces we're no longer checking public venues and we're going to, you know, caveat emptor, that's going exactly the wrong direction. But as frustrating as it has been, I think we're now at a moment where we can break through and get to the point we want, which is a much higher rate of compliance, so that we can sincerely say to people who are coming to our community that they are safe. And it's a no-brainer, but I just think people need to understand this has been a war waged by these gig companies. They use every tool, including the federal courts, to frustrate local communities from doing reasonable regulations. And it has been enormously frustrating serving on this council and seeing the number of ways that we've been thwarted. And I sincerely hope that the legislature doesn't preempt our ability to regulate TNCs going forward. The bill, Susan McClain's bill, apparently is still on life support. It's going to come down to a question of whether the leadership of the legislature wants to see that bill get a hearing and ultimately see the light of day at the end. It would unravel years of work that we've done to protect workers and consumers, and it would effectively shut down the wage board that the Portland Bureau of Transportation has been working so hard to set up, which would address the concerns of drivers who, under current law, aren't sure whether they're independent contractors or employees. So I appreciate that we're at this moment where we think we have a legal hook. Thomas, I think we want to make sure you have the resources you need to aggressively move forward on this, but it's taken us way too long to get to this point. And I don't point any fingers to your shop, but I have learned some painful lessons about how some of these new gig companies view local regulators. And it's shameful. And it's led to a dismal compliance rate of under 30%, which is really a shocking number. So I thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm encouraged that armed with a circuit court decision, we may actually be able to close the loop on this.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
I'm going to save most of my comments for the vote, which I believe is coming next week, but I just want to signal my general support, my appreciation to Mike at BDS and to Revenue Division and to the mayor. It was one of my biggest frustrations and disappointments that I didn't get to make much progress on this issue while I was a commissioner in charge of BDS. We know beyond a doubt that short-term rental platforms are contributing to a global housing crisis, including our housing crisis right here in Portland. The city implemented some common sense regulations to try to mitigate those impacts on our rental markets, as well as protect consumers and neighborhoods. But given that thousands of houses, rooms, and ADUs that were formerly rented out long-term are now on the short-term rental market, there isn't, again, no denying that it is impacting and accelerating our housing crisis. And the denial of these platforms, in particular Airbnb, which is the only group that I have met with, would be laughable if it weren't so offensive. So I'm going to support aggressive regulation and enforcements because we need to take care of our residents and our neighborhoods. People have plenty of places to stay when they come to our town.
Thank you. Director Lanham, it's my understanding you have some invited testimony. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe testimony. There is some testimony.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
So I can just go to the public list now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
Oh, I think just one person. Maggie left. We have Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Is he here? I don't see him. Very good. Any further comments, colleagues?
Is there a reason we're not doing this as an emergency?
Great question. There's some irony here given the long history that you were talking about, Commissioner Fish, and understand we want aggressive enforcement, but we do need a little bit of time. We want to give the platforms the usual second reading in the 30 days. I had conversations with Airbnb and HomeAway about compliance. I think it's fair to say they get it now, but they'll need time to notify hosts and things like that.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. And Mustafa, are you trying to get a message to me before I say what I'm going to say?
Yes,
we do have two people who are invited testimony. Okay, please bring them up. I can see you madly working your iPhone there. Welcome. 3 minutes each, name for the record, please.
I like me.
Robert will be going first.
Yeah. Rob Herdert from Host to Host. And good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Council. First, we appreciate Tyler Wallace and others in the Revenue Division reaching out to us and inviting us to give comment and put on the ordinance before it was finalized. And we appreciate also Amanda Watson in your office inviting us to testify here today. Now, Host to Host is a local nonprofit trade association that advocates for people who advocates for hosts who welcome travelers into our homes. We wanted to be able to speak for ourselves, recognizing that cities often hear only from platforms such as Airbnb and HomeAway. We use those platforms, but our interests often differ. Our association fully supports short-term rental hosts being permitted, paying occupancy taxes, and meeting reasonable regulatory requirements. We provide continual educational opportunities to our members to enhance their hospitality skills, but also to understand city requirements. And I'm pleased to be here with my host-to-host colleague, Shannon Hiller-Webb, who will give up a more personal side of this story in a minute. The pass-through registration, or PTR, was approved by council here a year ago, and we've been expecting it ever since. And at this point, we do accept that the city needs the proposed STR registry in order to bring about this pass-through registration. We're concerned about privacy, considering the bad behavior that can result from making the registry public, including transactional data. But we've been assured by the Revenue Division and the Mayor's Office that at least the financial information will be kept completely confidential. Overall, we support the ordinance because it seems to be a path towards removing unpermitted listings, especially unpermitted whole house listings that would affect the housing crisis. I will note that the testimony that we heard from Mike at BDS, there is one other side to that, and that is often the very best hosts with the very best return rates from their guests will be hosts who rent almost all the nights in the year. Those can be our very best hosts. Host-to-host supports reasonable regulatory controls of the short-term market, and to that end, we'd like to take a minute to address two short-term rental issues that don't depend on the registry or pass-through registration, but they're relevant. And first, a regressive per-night fee was created a year ago by Ordinance 189031. We testified at the time that assessing this $4 a night tax as a flat rate fee would create a discriminatory hardship for the home sharers with the least expensive listings.
Mayor, can we extend an extra minute or two?
Let's go, because I'd like to hear what you have to say. And this is invited testimony anyway, so Carly, you don't need to time it.
Since August 1st, 2018, a traveler considering a $40 a night listing faces 25% in occupancy taxes. And it's probably the highest in the nation for any hospitality provider. The highest occupancy tax rate in the country should not be assessed on the loyalist owners in Portland. We're proud that we're impacting the Housing Investment Fund. We still don't think that short-term rentals among hospitality providers in Portland should be shouldering this alone. But either way, we don't want to accept the regressive aspect of the fee as being permanent. And we ask that Council readdress this issue with Revenue Division to identify a new approach. Second, we want to bring to your attention the conversion of long-term housing to hotel space. This admittedly is not a topic that we're well versed in, but entire floors of some apartment and condo buildings originally constructed for long-term housing appear to now be operating as short-term rentals. We wonder why the city would allow this type of conversion, or at least why it might be done easily or quietly in the midst of this housing crisis. And if there's not a formal, transparent policy governing these conversions, we recommend that one be developed. And now I'd like to ask Shannon to personalize the story.
Sure, before you do, can I just say
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, A, for being here.
Thank you.
I remembered your other testimony. Thank you for the clarity of your testimony, and I appreciate your focus on privacy concerns, which I think is very important. I do recall you objecting to what you previously also referred to as the regressive per night fee. This idea of converting floors of a building to short-term, we saw that at the Burnside Bridgehead in the yards, and I'm glad you've flagged that issue again, because that does not seem consistent with any of our rules. But you referred to your support for, you know, reasonable regulations. And I guess it's important, since you represent the operators and you're independent of industry, is it the view of your organization that the city's current regulatory framework is burdensome?
I don't know that I've heard that.
That's all I need. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Hurt. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Thank you for your time. My name is Shannon, and I just thought I'd share a little bit about how I got here. I began hosting in 2012 when I was starting a small business that was high risk. It was called Green Zebra Grocery, and at the time I wanted a safety net, and hosting became an option for me that I felt was going to be a safety net I needed. As you know, Green Zebra has grown to be a solid local business supporting the community. And while I remain an owner, a proud owner, I've also ventured out as a consultant to help grow other local makers and grow their small businesses as a consultant. And hosting has been able to help me weather those lean times in both of those businesses to help keep me going. I would also like to state that it's afforded me opportunities to give my time to the community in a volunteer capacity. I've come before you in support of McAdam Ridge. That was a five-year operation that was extremely time-consuming, that this hosting allowed me to make those decisions to give to that neighborhood association, my neighborhood association. I also gave my time to the Sorrel neighborhood and their land use concerns. I'm an active member in the Sweeney Coalition, and this is one of the things that helps me. I also recently had a health issue that made me bedbound for 2 months, and I was only able to pay my mortgage because of this auxiliary income. So for me, I've been involved, like I said, since 2012, and I've always been a supporter of legalization. And I became connected to the people who founded Host to Host early on, and it was through that organization that I learned the single greatest population of hosts are older single women looking to augment their income from the retirement so that they can keep their homes and age in place. And that ignited me to organize the group to come before you last summer when we testified. It was during that testimony where we asked for a voice and a seat at the table that Amanda Fritz so lovingly suggested that we have a board at board seat at Travel Portland. And I can tell you that I occupy that seat proudly since January. And while that relationship is in its infancy, I've already seen the dramatic impacts it's had for both of our organizations and how we've been sharing about the travel industry as a whole that we may not have been privy to in the data set, and we've been sharing with them our expertise and our segment of the industry as short-term rental hosts. So Jeff and his team has been overwhelmingly welcoming, and as an example of their support, they are now lending marketing support to an organization called FabStays. FabStays is a new LGBTQ-friendly short-term rental platform that shares those hosts from collectively from all platforms that offer the community a safe place to stay. This organization is based in Florida, highlighting short-term rentals all over the world, and has selected Portland for its national launch this month. Because of Host to Host and because of our members' overwhelming support of this community. We are primarily an education-based organization, and we strive to have responsible ambassadors for the city and our communities. Travel Portland has provided, and Airbnb has sponsored, opportunities for our hosts on civil rights, implicit bias, racial equity training that hundreds of our hosts have attended. Our organization is growing, and we are continuing to engage our hosts with best practices, community engagement, and monthly meetups. This summer, we have a planned panel on homelessness and engaging stakeholders to bring holistic perspective to the sensitive and complicated concern facing our city. We are also committed to highlighting a local experience for our guests, and we are launching a local guidebook that shares the best of the best in our city beyond the 15 neighborhoods commonly marketed to. We have 94 neighborhoods, and our hosts are in most of those neighborhoods, so we're sharing the businesses from all of them. So we thank you for supporting our voices in this conversation, providing us a seat at the table. We support this ordinance and the city's continued effort to equitably address this industry and oversight in its legalization.
Well, thank you, Shannon. We really appreciate it. And Rob, thank you both. And thanks to Host and your active engagement in this process. It's great to hear your perspective, and appreciate your taking the time to share it this morning.
Thanks. By the way, thank you for opening a green zebra on Broadway and PSU. It's if you took a poll in my office, it's our favorite salad bar. So
thank you.
It's within walking distance. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Carla, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony?
It was Charles, Patrine, and Maggie, and I believe they both left.
Okay. And just due to some time constraints, I'm going to limit further public testimony to 2 minutes each. So if people are going to be testifying on things, think 2 minutes, because we will lose our quorum if we don't move forward expeditiously. So this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.